I sometimes watch the muscle car auto auctions on television. I especially like the cars from the 50s and 60s. These are the ones I can recognize. Recently, they auctioned off a candy apple red 1964 GTO convertible, the car that started the whole muscle car trend, for over $30,000. I wanted that car so much, partly because I had one very much like it back before the earth cooled. When I was a teenager, a friend offered to sell me his bright yellow 1965 GTO four-speed convertible with Mickey Thompson mags and redline tires. This car was exactly like the one Pontiac used in some of their ads. It was the baddest thing around. The ads always included one or two drop-dead gorgeous women sitting in the car, too. No doubt about it, I had to have it. Now, I should give you some idea what this meant to me. In those days, I thought the 65 GTO was the most beautiful machine ever created and divinely inspired. In fact, I prayed many times for God to please deliver one to me somehow, completely ignoring the fact that we were not wealthy and could only afford one car for the family. When God wasn't immediately forthcoming, I tried to convince my mother that a 65 GTO complete with hood scoop, bucket seats, and four in the floor was the perfect family car. But it was all wasted effort. But by the time my friend offered to sell me the car of my dreams, I was working at my first paying job and had managed to save a little money. I figured God had come through at last. I gave the former owner all my savings, and that GTO was mine. Now, we've all heard the saying, be careful what you ask for because you just might get it. That yellow GTO was going to teach me a lot about growing up. First of all, there were exactly zero drop-dead gorgeous women who came with my yellow GTO. In fact, that big engine made so much noise, the girls were actually repelled and a little frightened whenever I drove by. Almost immediately, I started getting tickets for driving with an improper muffler. It took weeks for me to save up enough to get that fixed. But the car needed lots of other repair work, too. For example, the fuel gauge was permanently stuck at half full. It never changed, no matter how much gas the car had in it. This caused me to run out of gas a lot, and it almost always happened in downtown traffic. Take it from me, pushing a 65 GTO off the road single-handed is not easy for a skinny teenaged kid. So to avoid the hassle of unexpectedly running out of gas, I began to stop and top off the tank every 20 miles or so. Of course, this doubled the length of time it took for me to get from one place to another, and a muscle car that's characteristically late seems ironic, doesn't it? Well, you're probably thinking that I didn't need to stop every 20 miles and could have gone a lot further without refueling. Remember, this car had a big engine with a four-barrel carburetor that practically spewed gasoline behind us as we roared down the road. I was never sure how much gas I had, and I didn't want to take chances. But even with all its problems, that 65 GTO could get to where it needed to go in a very big hurry. Now, I don't want you to think that I was more foolish than my other friends with cars, but I admit to being a bit more reckless. Back then, I figured, why have a muscle car at all if you don't flex the muscle every once in a while? Ah, a teenager's wisdom. And a pimply-faced teenager driving a hot muscle car just begs for attention from law enforcement officers everywhere, then and now. My first ticket was for burning rubber at a stop sign. Who knew a policeman was so close? But it was the second ticket that changed everything. On a lonely country road, late one summer night, I decided to see just how fast my yellow GTO could really go. Even these many years later, I'm ashamed to tell you what the speedometer read, but it was three digits, and she was still unwinding when, well, who knew a North Carolina state trooper was so close? To shorten what then became a completely unpleasant experience, I'll just share the highlights of what happened next. That night, I barely avoided being jailed at North Carolina's old Central Prison, a grim and ancient Gothic structure that would have frightened Dracula and was justifiably replaced many years ago. I had to hire a lawyer, pay a fine, and face the wrath of my parents. My driver's license was suspended on the spot. My insurance became so expensive that I couldn't afford it even when I got my driver's license back, which I didn't for a long time. I wasn't driving anything, much less a muscle car. Meanwhile, my beautiful 1965 GTO convertible sat silently in the yard, looking great, but slowly decaying until I finally sold it for parts. Of course, I realize now how lucky I am that no one was hurt, and I'm forever grateful to the state trooper for demonstrating so effectively the price we pay for our own irresponsibility. I'm also happy to say that I'm one of the safest drivers around and have not had a ticket since those days many years ago. Knock on wood. But what I learned by owning that yellow GTO is as true now as it was then and is more comfortable to accept with the passage of time, and that is this. We can plan and pray and do whatever we think we need to do in an effort to get whatever it is we've decided we want, but it might be better for us in the long run if we just don't get it.